The Legends with 888 Sport. Whatever your sport, take them on. Bet now. Gamble responsibly.
Football is all a matter of opinion. Share yours. 01514720967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Good evening and welcome along to the Radio City Legends with myself, Steve Hobbisall, John Aldridge and Graham Sharp. There's a fair bit going on if you want to get in touch with the show over the course of the next hour. Liverpool releasing a statement just after five confirming Steven Gerrard is to be the under 18 manager for next season. So that's all in cement now. We know it's going to happen. Seamus Coleman back at Finch Farm. Good news for the Blues, and maybe quicker than normal. Whatever you want to talk about, give us a ring. And as we say every show, new callers always welcome. We'll make you feel at home right here. 01514720967. 01514720967. The Radio City Legends with 888 Sport. Evening, gents.
Evening, Steve.
Been crawling through the traffic there, John.
Yeah, it's busy in town, you know, down there, just down by the little Clinton Square there. It's really busy, yeah.
At least you made it on time. Sharpie couldn't manage that last week, so...
Well, let me tell you, you've just said the headlines here, and not once have you mentioned the first team to bring silverware to Goodison, to Liverpool.
Well, I was
going to
do that.
To Liverpool. No, you weren't. And I thought I'd just remind you. Not even in the introduction.
It was a big favour from Liverpool as well.
Well, it was, yeah.
Did you want me to put that in it as well, that Liverpool secured it for the... No, actually, it's a brilliant achievement by the under-23s of Everton. Yes. Well done, David Unsworth. What does it mean, Sharpie?
Oh, it's good for the kids. It's the most important thing. You know...
When you think of what other teams, i.e. Chelsea and Manchester City, what they're doing, which we know behind the scenes, which people don't know, it's a great accomplishment. Mm. It really is, you know, because the money they put in is frightening.
Yeah. The thing as well is, you know, you look through the year or the season, they've lost so many players because they like the team and they win it and all that, but they send them out on loan because they want the players to go out and experience league football and everything else. So it's been a squad thing. You know, there's been a lot of players, you know, promoted to that squad because such and such is out on loan to a championship club and else. So it's been brilliant. And as John said, the money that, you know, City and Chelsea are throwing at kids nowadays, you know, for Everton to win that, that's, you know, a big achievement. Hats off to David Unsworth and the players.
Now, of course, all any Evertonian is bothered about is when do they see the knock-on effect of it? Because it's great winning the under-23s, but you want to see what Manchester United did with Beckham and Giggs and Scholes. You want to see the progression, don't you, in the effect on the first team?
Of course you do.
So when do you see that from this pack?
I'm not sure you'll see again so many kids like they had at Man United breaking into the team at the one time. Listen, all we can be hopeful for that some of the players are closer to it, whether they get in and establish them. We talked about before in the show about you need to be special. We look at Liverpool's team and some of the kids that are on the bench there, and you're thinking, give them a chance. You've got to have been something special. You know, Tom Davis has proven it for Everton this year. There's another couple of lads in there. John Joe Kenny's getting a good shout at the moment. So they'll be hoping that they can take the next step. And if they're good enough, we'll find out.
But I think, you know, what Sharp said before, you know, what Dave Unsworth's done is superb, because he's galvanised a squad of players, you know, he's had throughout the season. And sometimes you've got to bring up the 16 and 17-year-olds and let them have a go and see if they're going to develop and all that. But he's gone about it in a great way, you know, the belief, he's inspired them, you know, and given confidence, they believe in him. So Dave, I think it shows that Dave's probably got a future, he could be a really good manager, you know, for what he's done there.
Yeah, you look at it, and the good thing about him as well is he's straight down the middle with the players, and he says to the players, listen, hey, it's not all about playing football, you need to get out. So they've done so many remarkable achievements off the field, and Home Is Where the Heart Is as a project where they've been sleeping outdoors to raise money for these new projects, housing projects. So he's got them feet on the ground saying, listen, okay, you're living the privileged life of being a footballer, but listen, there's life outside as well. So he's made them aware. So we talk about Steven Gerrard as well in the Liverpool thing, and I think that's what will be a good thing for the Liverpool kids under Steven Gerrard is he'll have them grounded as well to say, listen, it's not all about that. It's outside as well. You've got to make sure you, you represent the football club outside, you know, the four walls
within,
you know,
the city,
within the city. And that's what Unzi's done. And he's really got them in, got them grounded. No big time Charlie's in his team. Won't allow it. He expects hard work and discipline from his players on and off the field. And I think Steven Gerrard will want the same from his players.
Well, it's a good note on how important youth football is on Merseyside. I mean, obviously, Steven's introduction as under-18s manager from the start of next season, that's a great deal of faith in him. It will put an awful lot of a spotlight as well on that under-18 team, whether he likes it or not.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Steven brings that with him.
Yeah, I think that's fair comments. But he knows what he's got to do. You know, obviously, he wants the team to be good. He wants the team to do really well, as you always do. But it's about, as well, inspiring and getting players ahead of the time and getting them into 20, under 23s, getting them in the first team, you know, by coaching them. And that's where you get the buzz about seeing players progress and you know, get the debut for the first team. That's why Stevie don't get me wrong, you want to win the league because you've got that competitive spirit in it, you know. But first and foremost, he'll be teaching the players and Sharpie says, not just on the football field, you know, to be a good person as well and to be streetwise. Not an awful lot of that being streetwise, you know, on the pitch. And see if you can get any of them in the first team, like we haven't been for a long, long time.
Yeah, it depends on what hand you're dealt with. You know, the under-18s at Liverpool, I don't know, might be a really good group, you know, and you say a really good group with like six or seven outstanding players. Other times, because of the cycle, you might get that under-18s, which is not great. So you can't expect him to go in and win the league. Obviously, as John says, he'll want to win and win the league and do really well for himself personally. But the most important thing is how many he pushes through and how many people will look up and say, oh, Steven Gerrard's our coach. And he gets instant respect right away. But it's difficult. And it's not necessarily going to say they're going to win the league. And John's right. Steven will want to do that. He's a winner. He wants to do that. But the most important thing is, get the kids through.
Yeah, I don't think it's as important to win the under-18s league because there's a lot of tampering with players being taken to the under-23s. Yeah. And it's probably more important to win the under-23s than the under-18s.
Well, under-23s is the same sort of thing. You know, it's not important. It's about getting the players forward and promoting the players. Listen, you're going to get a good batch of under-18s one year. You know, you're going to get a good batch. As they go up the ages, you can tell right away, listen, our kids at under-13 are really good.
That's true, yeah.
So the under-14 coach will be thinking, I've got a good batch to work on. We don't know what Stephen's got to work with. There'll be good players in there, of course there will be. But listen, time will tell. But, you know, as a youngster at 18 level, knowing that I'm going in next season and I'm training every day with Steven Gerrard. Wow.
Yeah, the one thing I will say, you know, I've spoken to Steve a few times about it. He loves it. He can't wait to get another morning. Mm. He loves getting amongst the players, you know. He gets a massive kick out of it, you know. And that shows, you know, that he... I think it's really good for the club as well as Steve as well, you know, see how he progresses and the kids progress.
So it's a little bit of a rejig. Neil Critchley's going to take over the under-23s, Steven Gerrard the under-18s. You're talking about youth and what effect they could have. So Chelsea last night secured their fourth consecutive FA Youth Cup. I don't know how many young players have come through to the first team in Chelsea. I mean, if they were winning it 4 years ago, some should have been dripping into the first team by now from that Youth Cup success, shouldn't they?
Yeah, you've got a few. You've got Chalobah, I think, has had a few first-team games. There's a couple, but not at the stage where they're regulars in the first team.
Been on the bench, haven't
they? Yeah, that won't happen because they'll go out and buy success and buy the players rather than looking at the younger players. So they invest a lot of money in those academies.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? Yeah. You know, they're buying the players, you know, for ridiculous amounts of money, trying to capture, you know, a Rooney or a Beckham or one of, you know, Stevie Gerrard or one of these players. Everyone's trying to do it, you know, and it's not that easy.
No, it's not. If you ask them for the money they put out in their academy, how much they spent in their academy,
ridiculous.
Are they happy with what they've got through? No.
I totally agree.
Okay, boys, let's field some calls this evening on the Radio City Legends with 888 Sport. John Aldridge, Graham Sharp, straight off to Norris Green and Steve. Evening, Steve.
Good evening, lads. How are we?
Hi, Steve.
Hello, Steve.
Long time no speak, lads. Sorry about that. Like, but I've had just saying to Dave, I've had problems with my blue suit. So, anyway, this thing about Steven Gerrard, he could end up being, in my opinion, another Ronnie Moran.
Yeah.
Right, but not only that, Stephen's going to be showing these young lads what it's all about, but he's going to gain experience with working with the full squad of them 18-year-olds, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
To put him in good stead for when he maybe one day take over the club, which is probably his ambition, and you can't take that away from him.
Yeah, I think, yeah, possibly. You know, obviously Steve worked under Ronnie Moran to send him. But I think more importantly, from that level where he's starting off, he worked under Steve Iwe.
Yeah.
It was top draw with the kids. They loved him. You know, he won the cup with them. And you know, everyone believed. He still goes there, Steve, now. And I'm sure, you know, if Stevie needs to ask any question to anyone, in particular what he's not too sure of, I think Steve Iwe will be his backup.
And he's also still very close to Hughie McCauley as well.
He was a Castle villain, too.
He kept those roots, contacts into
that's,
it.
That's right.
Very
yeah.
clever.
Yeah, amongst other people as well, who we haven't mentioned yet, too right, yeah. Mm. And it's always nice to have the backing of them. Because, you know, in life you're learning every single day, whatever job you've got. You always make mistakes, you've got to learn off the mistakes. And Steve will have to do that early on, and right throughout his career as a coach stroke manager.
Was he 35, something like that?
Yeah, I think Steve's about 36, isn't he?
Is he 35, 36? Yeah. Now, you know, at the end of the day, he's got to start somewhere, hasn't he? You know.
Yeah, it's a great start, you know, and he's at a club which, you know, obviously, you know, is dear to his heart, you know, and he'll know what he wants, you know, he'll know what he's looking at down the line. And it's a great place to start, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, it's interesting. You said he was going to be a Ronnie Moran. Now, Ronnie only managed Liverpool on two very short occasions, didn't he? One of them being when Kenny left.
Ronnie wasn't a manager, was he?
No, he wasn't. Do you not think he's going to be a manager long-term, Steve, at Liverpool?
No, what I meant by that, Steve, right, was that he could be at the club for a hell of a long time.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
right. I think he'll get a chance if, you know... Let's be honest. If he achieves things at the under whatever age he's going to take on 18s, 23s, or whatever, and he achieves things, the club and the club will probably maybe look at him. But in the next say 5-6 years or so, depending on what happens with Klopp and if he moves on and certain things happen within the club, you know, and 5-6 years time down the line, who knows? He's going to gain a 5 or 6 years experience. And then the club might turn around and say, well, yeah, he's won a couple of things with that. Mm. So let's see what he can do in the big league, you know what I mean?
Yes, Steve, the thing as well is what Stephen wants to do, I think if he wants to take over Liverpool, what the general opinion would be is, like, you know, go out and do a job somewhere. I know he was linked with getting a job once he was retired.
MK Dons,
and he looked at that and probably thought, nah, it's not for me. I'd learn more being at Liverpool and working with the kids here. But there may come a time, same as David Unsworth at Everton, there may come a time where somebody plants that carrot and says, here, this dangles this in front of you and say, listen, we want you to be our manager. And it might mean he goes away and tries his luck somewhere else.
You're right, Shafi.
And I just don't know. I'm just trying to think. I agree what you're saying in the Liverpool way of the past is when they bred their own, if you like, and came in to be manager. I'm not sure if it happens as much now. So maybe, who knows, he might have to go out to come back in again.
It's a possibility.
John, do you think it's much harder to be manager of your Steven Gerrard longer term?
Of course, yes.
The pressure that would be placed on his shoulders.
You're talking about, you know, iconic figure, Liverpool Football Club forevermore. You know, and all of again, people have their eyes on him, and you know, the eyes of the world on him. To be quite honest.
Well, you guarantee it, John, as well, and Steve. If he goes next season and they don't win the league and they get beat in a couple of games, you can guarantee the papers will be all, he's rubbish and all that. And
I'll be back on as well, Sharpie, slagging him off.
Yeah. I know you won't be, but that's the way it's madness. Yeah. So instead of saying that, for the longer term, he's here for the kids and he will develop these kids and make them better. But you can't tell that to fans of opposition teams or journalists who say, well, he can be beat 5-0 or something.
Yeah.
And the results don't matter. I know they should do, but he's in a job where he's trying to get kids through. That's a long-term fix. Not everyday results.
But you know what? He's got the bug, you know. It could have been Steve's, obviously, he earned that much money in the game, quite rightly so, because of how good he was. Mm. He could have just sat back, you know, done a bit of BT, whatever. But he's got a burning desire of what he wants to achieve for Liverpool Football Club, starting with here. Hey, I'll tell you what, that's absolutely fantastic for someone to have a go and do that. When he could have just sat back and played golf every bloody day, couldn't he?
Must be great, you know, going to learn your trade as well, but also try and encourage kids at the
end. That's right. Absolutely, yeah.
Into the big league. It must be great. It must be trying to be a great achievement. That
yeah.
Must
yeah,
be.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know. Touch wood, yeah, Steve.
Steve, good stuff. Speak to you again soon.
All right, boys, cheers, take care.
All the best.
Steve, nice and jolly this evening. I mean, it would lead on to the question about whether David Unsworth was a prospective Everton manager in the future, which
could be.
You can't answer right now because we've got to take a break, but you can in a minute, yeah, Sharpie. It's the Radio City Legends with 888 Sport, and if you want to get involved in that conversation or anything else, 01514720967. We welcome all callers. These two are nice and friendly, Aldo and Sharpie, in the hot seat, and we're back in a moment.
Is the home of red and blue banter and debate. Call now 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. On Radio City and Radio City Talk.
10 to 7, Aldo and Sharpie in the studio. Myself, Steve Hothersall. We'll take more of your calls in a moment or two. A thought on Liverpool's new kit. It's very retro. It was revealed this morning at 9 o'clock this morning. They do it very well. They build up the suspense over 48 hours. And they put out this brilliant video where it was Ian St. John turned up at the doorstep of a lifelong fan who looked absolutely amazed. Henderson, Wijnaldum did exactly the same. So they gave it some really good sort of promotion. What do you think of the kit itself, John? Do you like it? Does it take you back to the 80s?
I think it's really nice. I think obviously a lot of work's gone. It's big business now. We know the shirts and Liverpool globally. We know how many fans they've got. So it's got to be a little bit unique, a little bit different. And for me, it ticks the boxes. I really like it. You know, it's a deeper red. I remember that red from the 60s. You know,
Sharpie's got a quibble about the red.
Slightly deeper red.
I think it's maroon. I think it's more and more like hearts.
I actually think it's excellent. It's excellent. Yeah. I like the V-neck. I like the trimming of it. You know, the badge, the colour, and even the yellow of the gold of the standard charts. No, I think it ticks the boxes. Yeah.
Oh, well done, Liverpool, and New Balance. What do you think of it, Sharpie?
Well done, Liverpool. What they had a kit. We've been having these for years.
Right,
what's so special?
Let's get back to the phone line.
Tell you about, the phones must be quiet for talking about.
We've got a blue to give you comfort. Okay. It's Ben who's in Halewood. Welcome to Radio City Legends, Ben.
Go ahead, lads.
Hello, Ben.
Right. Just want to speak to Sharpie. I'm sorry.
How you on, Ben?
All it is, especially the past few weeks, Sharpie's getting clear that obviously we need more players, more quality players.
Yeah.
And with maybe Lukaku going, maybe Ross, but I think he'll stay. I just want to ask you, obviously, I remember, I think only the other day, a caller said we need maybe 7-8 players or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But quality players, who would you get, Sharpie? Like, cool. I know Steve Walsh is obviously, he's meant to, that's his job and stuff, but who would you get, who would actually come to us?
Can you start with this Koulibaly, who's in the papers today in the Echo?
Ben, we've been linked with so many players. I think this the other boy, Anderlecht, Tielemans, is another one who's been... Listen, we don't know, but all I would say to you is, I think we need six or seven players. And I mean, by that, I don't mean just maybe planning for the future and hopefully they come good. I'm talking top quality players. I think we've got a squad that's obviously, we got rid of a few in January. We've got an ageing squad that we've got to look at as well. Obviously, Seamus out as well. Are the ones that coming through, maybe John Joe Kenny, Tyce Browning, who's in loan at present, are they good enough to step up and play regularly? I'm not sure. So I think that, apart from central midfield, I think every area of the field we have to fill, and that starts with the goalkeepers as well. So who's out there, I'm not too sure.
Are you going to spend £50 million on a centre-half? Koulibaly. So the Everton headline in the Echo today, Everton haven't cooled on Carly, and apparently the Italian newspaper Il Mattino reckon Everton are still tracking him. Are you going to spend £50 million on him?
Well, why not? That's the price nowadays of defenders. Look at Van Dijk when he goes from Southampton, he's going to be the same. So would you pay £50 million somebody who's been injured? It's listen, they've got a price. If you want those players, you have to pay the price. It's going to be the same when they come knocking on Lukaku for Lukaku in the summer. They've got to pay the price that somebody puts on them. So Koulibaly's one, the boy Tielemans one. I think they're quality players. They're recognised as quality players. I think that's the sort of player we need to go and get.
We need, you know, you got like you know, saying about Van Dijk there. I mean, I don't know where he's going to end up, but we need someone of that ilk.
Yeah.
who's proven and in basically in the prime, don't we?
Yeah, Ben. The only thing we talked about it the other day is this Champions League thing. Players have got it in their mind; they want to go to a Champions League club, so that makes it harder for the club. So sometimes you have to take a chance in certain players. I'm sure Steve Walsh. He's spies out already, and he knows the contract situation of certain players. So he'll have a list of players that he'll run through the manager, and hopefully, you know, it comes to fruition in the summer. But as I said, I'm looking from the goalkeeper straight to the centre forward. If you take Lukaku goes, we've got nobody else. You know, I know we talk about the young kids coming through, but unfortunately, I don't think Everton, with the way they are now, and especially the fans, would accept that. It's all about giving kids a chance. I'm not saying it's not, but we need experienced players who have been there, seen it and done it. You know, whether we can attract them remains to be seen, but I think we're in a better position now than we have been for a long, long time in terms of attracting bigger names.
Well, it's better than under the Martinez, isn't it?
Well, I think also, and again, no disrespect to the previous manager, but I think Koeman gives you more of a pool as well. You know, if I was a player and Ronald Koeman wanted to sign me, I'd go, wow, you know, he's been a top player in his time. You know, yeah, I'll go there and maybe learn something from him. So we've got now the advantage of having a manager who's world renowned, you know, and that maybe puts a seed in the player's mind and says, yeah, hold on, I fancy that Everton project.
John, Ben mentioned Virgil van Dijk. Would Liverpool spend 50 million on Van Dijk? Can you see Liverpool spending 50 million? The same question as asked to Sharpie. Would Liverpool spend 50 million on a centre half?
I think, hypothetically, if they can get 30 million for Sacco, who's going to be shown the door after his antics, I think 20 million. If you're going to do it, just do it. You know, just do it. Go and get him. Go and get him. Go and get a top striker. Top left back.
That's what you'd like to think, though. But would Liverpool do that? It's a gamble.
But if you buy Van Dijk for 50 million, or Ben, if you buy somebody and you go on and win the league, or you win, go in the Champions League and do well in that, hey, listen, nobody's looking at the fee. You know, nobody's looking at the fee.
That's what other teams do. Yeah. You know, that's what Man United will do. That's what Chelsea will do. That's what City will do. And obviously, you've got to match them to the best. You don't want to go waste money. No one wants to waste money. But and everybody buys it. Hey, everybody!
Gamble,
as you know, we can always fall flat on his face. You know, we've got players there worth quite a few money that's going to go under summer, that, you know, can go under Kitty. You know, so but we need to have a proper go, and Liverpool need to get in the Champions League if they're going to be serious with certain players. If not, and with the Europa Cup, then there'll be other players that'll have to have a look at. You know, who they can entice.
Ben, give us three players you'd want to see at Everton.
Keane, that Van Dijk, obviously, and I think we're desperate for a striker, maybe that Gabby Hadini.
Southampton, he's done very well. Yeah, I thought you were going to come out with Ben with Ronaldo, Messi, and Neymar. I'll set up for that.
To be fair though, Sharp, I don't want to be like Liverpool and be like the Southampton B team. You know what I
mean? Oh, good joke, Ben.
Good night, Ben. Bye bye. Thank you very much indeed. Phil is our next caller on the Radio City Legends with 88 Sports. Welcome along, Phil.
All right, mate. All right, lads.
Hi, Phil.
First of all, a big thing you to David Unsworth and the lads, the under-23s, magnificent.
Yeah.
Everton future, playing the Everton way as well. Well done. I mean, that's fantastic. With no money like the others are putting into their academies, brilliant. Secondly, bit of a boring one last week, wasn't it, Sharpie?
Oh, dearie me. I can't remember it. I've forgotten about it already. Yeah.
And people going on about Lukaku leaving, is he or isn't he? Mm. I think the main thing, isn't it, is keeping Koeman.
Yeah, listen, he's been
above Everton.
Yeah, but I don't think. Well, I think Koeman will be here next year. I think he's into this plan or the project, whatever you want to call it. You know,
exactly. He's more important, isn't he? Than Anton?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, listen, the Lukaku speculation won't go away until it happens. If something happens, the same with the Ross Barkley thing. But it'd be good news if we could keep Ross Barkley to a contract, and obviously we don't know what's going to happen with Lukaku. I'd like to think that we still hold all the cards in terms of the price that we want for the player. But no, listen, just let's wait and see. I think a lot of people are jumping the gun. Obviously, we are in the position where we can dictate what we want for the player.
I can't see Ross leaving, in all honesty, though.
Well, yeah. Again, the same thing, Phil. And any, where does he go? You know, who wants him? You know, can you see him at Manchester City? No, I can't. Can I see him at the other Man City, Man United, Tottenham? No, I can't see him there. You know, so I think he's got to weigh up his options. He's got to be careful that he doesn't go the way of Jack Rodwell, say,
yeah,
that goes
yeah.
to a so-called bigger club and doesn't get a game. You know, I think that would be more harmful to Ross's career than anything else. I think Ross has still got a bit to learn. He's a fabulous footballer, don't get me wrong. But I still think he can learn more under Ronald Koeman at Everton rather than going sitting somewhere on the bench.
I mean, of course, and defender-wise, I mean, what defender wouldn't want to come and play for Koeman?
Well, exactly.
He's one of the best. Yeah. He's one of the best in the world, wasn't he?
Well, Phil, that was my big thing last year with John Stones. And listen, I know Man City and all like this Champions League stuff, and it's a big club and everything else. I know that. But for me, I would have said, listen, I'll have a year with Koeman. He's played in that position. He knows, you know, what it's all about. And I probably think he'd have learnt more and become a better defender than he has shown at this moment in time.
Definitely. Mm. Definitely. And it's nice that, I mean, I was around in the 80s, the success, and seeing yourself and Andy Gray and me now on the Gladys Street with my kids, and I seriously think we're going to see something special in the next 3-4 years ourselves.
Well, Phil,
it's
going
to be fantastic.
Yeah, I hope you're right. Phil, very, very quickly, Chelsea Sunday, confident?
I reckon we'll beat them, yeah. Hmm? Yeah, definitely.
Good man.
I love it. Confidence about. Phil, nice one. Thank you very much indeed. A couple of other big stories attracting attention in the past few days. You came in straight away into the office talking about Joey Barton, Sharpie. 18 months his ban is, isn't it, for betting? Is
nonsense.
Right?
It's mad, isn't it?
Absolute nonsense. 18 months. Listen, we know the rules and everything else. Listen, I don't know if Joey's a gambler or whatever kind of thing. I'm not interested, you know, but 18 months is very, very harsh. Very, very harsh. Yeah. And as you came up with a good point, especially when you look at the number of betting firms that are involved in football nowadays, you know, and don't really mention much about that. And I just think it's a bit harsh. 18 months, well, as he said himself, that's basically
end of his career, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, football is quite happy to take money from betting companies, aren't they? All the clubs that are sponsored, Sunderland, Palace, Swansea, Stoke, Hull, West Brom, Bournemouth, Burnley, Watford, they're all sponsored by betting companies. Obviously, he steps out of line. It's
a great
wrong,
area, isn't it? It's a great area, but come on. It doesn't surprise you. And the FA made the decision, didn't he? Are you surprised? Yeah.
All I'd say is he's the worst gambler you've ever seen. If you've seen the papers today, so his wagers backing his own team in matches involving his side between 2006 and 2014, they've listed them in one of the papers today. Total bets, £1,900. Returns, £10. He lost £2,000.
I'm not being funny. If you're backing on your own team, that's not a problem. It's when you're backing on other teams or a draw. If you're backing on your own team, you're playing to win. I don't see a problem in that. Years ago, people could have betted on your opponents, knowing that they're going to half the bonus. They're only at half a bonus anyway, which may have happened. You know, but if you bet on your own team, even if you bet on yourself to score, come on.
I read something this morning. I think it was Leon Osborne that was saying that, you know, the betting company surely at fault. Surely the betting company should have notified and said, listen, hold on. Because Leon Osmond, I'm sure he said that his betting account got closed down as he's a footballer. And they said, bang, you can't do it anymore or you're not allowed to do this. So the betting firm's got to take some responsibility as well, knowing full well what the rules are and the fact that they're taking money off a Premiership footballer. Yeah.
Do you know what I did? What I did once we went to play.
Tell us that story in a moment, because we have to take a break, or I'll be in trouble. 3 minutes past seven. It's Radio City and Radio City Talk. It's the Legends with 888 Sport. John Aldridge, Graham Sharp, myself, Steve Hollis. Some more of your calls next, and a bit of Look Who's Scoring.
The Legends with 888 Sport. Whatever your sport, take them on. Bet now. Gamble responsibly.
Call now 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Okay, a bit of Look Who's Scoring action coming up in a moment. It's 8 minutes past seven. Just a couple of things before we get to our double weekly quiz. First of all, John, you were going to tell us a story about it. Was it about gambling? Was it about betting?
When I was manager, Tammy, we were at Norwich. We went to play Norwich away, and at the back of the programme, they had odds for the players all to score both sides. And Sean Teal was 50-1. So I said, right, lads, this is what we're going to do. Give us a few bob each, you know. Sure, if we get a penalty first, penalty, Sean's going to take it. We'll put the money in the kitty for Magaluf at the end of the season. Oh, yeah. So what happened next? Nothing. We didn't get a
I thought you were exposing yourself to the FA live on air there.
If we got a penalty.
Right, just quickly before we do look who's scoring. Brilliant to see on the back of the Echo today a picture of Seamus Coleman, who's been at USM Finch Farm yesterday. You saw him? How is he in his spirit?
No, I never saw him, but I was just looking at the article. I was in Finch Farm today, but obviously the lads were off. But great to see him, you know, in the pictures and everything else. And the amazing thing for me is 4 weeks, I think it's 4 weeks, and he's not in plaster, which is amazing. I thought he'd still be in plaster for the
double fracture, and he's not in plaster.
He's got one of those protective boots, don't get me wrong, but fantastic to see him and listening to him. You know, he's really up for and confident kind of thing, which is great to see, because obviously after the injury he was down, you know, which you expect. But, you know, great to see him back at Finch Farm, and hope he has a speedy recovery.
Did he pin it, Sharpie?
I'm not sure, John. I'm not sure. I'd imagine, because you can play to a pin it, can't you?
Yeah, it would have been
different, yeah. But no, great to see him back.
Neil Taylor being given a 2-game ban for that. Is that enough? Is it
no.
Correct? Does it?
No, only you know. It was a bad challenge, Steve. It was, you know, it's career threatening. He wasn't thinking about the way I thought it was a really poor challenge. I'm sure, don't get me wrong, he didn't want to break his leg, but it was a poor challenge, and for 2 games, not for me, should have been more.
Alright, let's have a look who's scoring. 10 past 7, Radio City Talk Thursday evening. It's the Legends and
Legends 2, producer nil.
We've got a toughie. Yeah. You're actually level with each other in blue versus red, but you've got this side bet, if you like, with the producer. Yeah. And I don't think you are going to beat the producer today, because I looked at this and straight away I thought,
I'm disappointed. Here we go. The producer's in bad health, he says, but I think it's because he's 2-0 down and he realises it could cost him a few bob.
He's in very bad health. Right, for 5 points, born in 1968, this player, and he had 5 years of his playing career in England with one Premier League club. A London-based club who have won the Premier League.
Can you repeat that, please?
1968, his birth year. 5 years of his playing career in England, but only for one Premier League club. It's a London club.
68.
And they have won the Premier League. 40, do you want to have any 49. Early guesses?
No, not a clue.
All right, let's get to 4 points. He won two FA Cups. This narrows it down somewhat. A League Cup and a European trophy while he was in England. Obviously with this club, it was the only club he was at. Two FA Cups, a League Cup and a European trophy. What clubs are we thinking about?
Chelsea.
Arsenal.
Chelsea.
Okay,
Chelsea,
well, one of you is right there. No guesses, a name? Anything spring to mind? Right?
5 years in England.
3 points. Also had spells in France. And has won a European Championship with 50 caps. And he scored 4 goals as well.
4 goals?
So which bit of the pitch do you think he plays in?
Yeah, I think he's a Chelsea fullback and central defender.
You're getting close. Right.
Can't be Desailly. Yeah.
No, you are absolutely wrong.
That was pathetic, Steve.
Yeah, that was awful, wasn't it?
Right, go on, John.
I can't think of his name.
Go on, what name is it? What does he begin with? What's he like? If you describe him to me, I'll let you have it.
Centre midfield. Desailly? No,
he just said that, didn't he?
No, sorry.
Deschamps.
Here we go.
This is getting farcical.
No, all right.
No, I can't think of his name.
Can you? What? This guy, you know straight away. M.
Yeah, him.
No.
Right, 2 points. One of his French clubs was Marseille. And he scored
17.
And he scored 17.
What did we see before? Desailly.
Yeah.
Then he said no.
Who might have played in a similar sort of...
LaBeouf. He's on his paper. Thank you.
Yeah. Good guess, that. Is that not who you were thinking of?
Because no, I wasn't. I was thinking of a holding midfield player. I couldn't get his name.
If you're going to describe him, I thought you'd have said Baldy.
I'm blaming you.
David, producers, now, I didn't give them that many clues. The final clue was he played for Chelsea, which I hadn't said
up
until
that anyway.
Point.
We knew it was Chelsea, didn't we, early on? Because
that is Legends 3, producer D, 0.
Yeah. I hope you're saving up, Dave.
For the night out. Night out. Come on, David.
We're looking at the top Rioja wines here now, mate.
Rioja. Right, we're going back to the phone lines in a minute. 28-27 in blue versus red.
That was more than 1 point, that. That was 2 points.
Oh, okay. 29-27. But the other competition, the producer 3-0. Is trailing 3-0, and he hasn't got many weeks to change it around. Let's get back to the phone lines on the Radio City Legends with 888 Sports. Kevin. Kevin is up next. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, good evening, gents.
Hello, Kev.
Yeah, listen, talking about the... this is not my point, but talking about the Joey Barton thing. Mm. I'm a steward, and I've been told I can't gamble on football. Mm-hmm. It's breaking the club rules. Yeah. Now, as a steward, how am I going to affect any result? Mm.
What is the reason given to you, Kev?
Because of working in a sporting environment.
You can't gamble.
For the work of the club.
That's right.
I can't gamble on any football whatsoever in this country, legally. Wow. And I'm a steward.
Is that taking it too far, John?
It's ridiculous.
Mm. It is. Is it club policy,
from the club, is it? Yeah.
Every club. It's FA-wise. It's every club, not just ours.
It's not like Kev can put Sean Teal on penalties, is it?
If that would have come off, that would have been brilliant, wouldn't it?
Kev, what did you want to talk about?
Well, as I say, it's Aldo, really. I know Sunday's result was gone and the performance was awful and one of them unexpected, but I still think we'll get top four because if we win 3 out of 4 of our games, three wins and a draw, I think we'll get it. Because when you look at the other teams, I don't think United are going to get the maximum points. They've still got to play City tonight. They've got to go to Arsenal. They've got to go to Spurs. Arsenal have got to play.
They're still playing each other, aren't they, Kev? Yeah, you're right. There's going to be points. But I have to say, can you honestly see us at the moment with the clientele we've got, you know, off the bench as well, us getting 10 points out of 4 games? Because I can't.
The thing is, though, 2 of them away, and we're better away than we are at home at the moment. Sunday was awful. The atmosphere was awful. You know what I mean? And I know what was the game where Klopp criticised the fans for leaving early? I can't remember. He said, you can get behind us.
Yeah, I remember one of the first games,
It was empty, you know what I mean? I thought, hang on a minute, you can still get a last-minute goal. Remember the league against West Brom that time? Yeah. Last minute. You know, a point's precious. We still got the points there. And if City win tonight, and then if Spurs win...
I think that's the best result for us tonight. City to win, you just want Man United to get out of the equation. Arsenal have got to play United and Tottenham, but at the end of the day, we've got to look after ourselves. You know,
we
I think Watford is like a cup final. We've got to bounce back with a win there, you know, and then it sets it up nicely with the games coming up. You know, Middlesbrough and Southampton at home. You'd like to think that the crowd are going to get right behind the team and make it a special occasion. You know, because at the end of the day, we've got. Who's going to score goals? If Coutinho and Firmino, you know, not going to score. Come on. We've got to keep clean sheets. We've got to be nice and tidy and grind results out in the last 4 games.
Yeah, you know, with the highest scores in the Prem, you look at our record. Our record goals conceded. We should be down in the bottom half. Easy. Beating Watford 4-5.
Yeah.
40 odd goals conceded.
Yeah, it's not good.
But, you know what I mean? I think as well, the Watford game on Monday, I think it's good because we'll know all the results. You know, I think it's an advantage playing on Monday night because all the other teams, United would have played twice, City would have played twice.
If we look either way, can't
you? Yeah, see what happens if they win the games, then there's more pressure on Liverpool.
Pressure, but
we still know what we have to do, don't we? You know what I mean?
You know what you've got to do anyway. You've got to win.
Yeah, you've got to win. Yeah, but got to win.
The thing is, what he's got to do, Kev, is obviously, you know, Lallana, if you're going to score goals, you have to play Lallana because he's such a playmaker for us. He's got creativity, which we didn't really have. You know, to be fair, the lads who played against Stoke and West Brom done brilliant in midfield. You know, but some games now you've got to have that creativity to create the chances as well as digging deep to get the clean sheet and get the balance right. And when Lallana there going forward, especially at Anfield, with the two games you've got at Anfield, you need Lallana in the team rather than the three defensive type lads.
See, the only disappointment thing for me was Palace was, I think, I couldn't understand the subs. I couldn't understand Trent Armour coming on and Klein going off. You know, he thought, like, well, give up being a shout. You know what I mean? I thought then he brought on Marino. And it didn't change much.
Yeah.
I just thought it was I just thought at the time it was the wrong subs.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And Stoddy's just fit now, isn't he?
Well, he's not fit. There's a chance he might play again this season.
He's training without the ball, I think.
Yeah, right.
They're talking, it's like because he's training. You just don't know with Daniel, you know, unfortunately.
To be honest, I think Joey Barnes got a better chance of playing this year than
Kev, we have to go. Thank you very much, pal. Next up, on the Radio City Legends with 888 Sport. Don't forget, for all the latest massive odds on the big fight of the weekend, AJ against Klitschko, head to our website and 888 Sport will direct you.
I'll tell you where I went to on Monday. Lucas had a testimonial dinner.
Yeah, you went after it, didn't you?
And do you know what? What a great night.
Brilliant. Yeah?
Absolutely brilliant.
You did a bit of samba?
They had samba dancers and everything. No, I just watched. Stevie Gerrard went up and done a great speech. Jurgen Klopp went up and done a great speech. And actually, he interviewed Lucas's wife, which was brilliant. If anyone could have seen it, was dead funny. And Lucas done a great speech. But the whole night was tremendous. And I believe it went on to the very, very, very... You know how the Brazilians...
What do you mean you believe?
Out of the Brazilians.
You're normally last out,
party.
John.
You know, it went very, very late. They had a special licence because it was at the ground and it went on very, very
what
late.
What are you suggesting, John?
Money on
right,
what?
It was a great night.
Money on what?
It was a great night, so thanks for the invite.
Let's get to our final caller, Andy, who's in Stonycroft. Welcome to the Legends, Andy.
Hiya, lads. You're okay. Basically a quick one, to be honest with you guys. It's more reference with the Joey Barton, and I was saying to one of the speakers before on the phone, if it had been anyone else, I wonder how long he'd have got.
Yeah.
I think Joey goes with what he goes. He's just a bad lad, isn't he? You know, no disrespect to the kid. He can't seem to behave himself, and I know the betting is a bit of a scandal, but it's one of them. I think it's ridiculous, 18 months, because he's finished, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know, it's just a short one with you guys, to be honest with you. But just on a quicker note, guys, the last time I seen John was in the Bodega, wibbling and wobbling. And the last time I spoke to Sharpie on a personal level was in the country many years ago, wibbling.
Ooh!
So there you go.
You
boys.
Told me you never went to country, Sharpie.
Yeah, I remember speaking to you many a time, John, up in Walton Village, mate. Remember me?
Go Bodega, I remember you go Bodega. It was a good little spot, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was lovely, John. I always
enjoyed it.
It was actually the time you came back from Spain, John. I was asking, you know, come you sign for no one else? He said, Sam, me were the only ones that come in, which I couldn't believe, kid.
Yeah, there's a couple of sniffs, but once Sammy came in and I spoke to Johnny King and Peter Johnson, they sold the club to me, you know, so that was great, and I enjoyed the 10 years, you know, and...
You did fab, kid, didn't you?
Loved the 10 years,
I always remember talking to you and your wife. She's a lovely woman up in the Grange Manor, etc.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. That's gone
and
now.
And Sharpie and the boys and the concierge many, many years ago. But
mate, we're running out of time, man.
I'll stop there, guys. Lovely speaking to you.
Cheers, Andy.
Andy, was John the last out of the Conti? Oh, sorry, not the Conti, the Bodega.
I could have been in the Bodega, yeah.
He was pretty fortunate, because where he lives now, he used to roll down the hill.
And it was when I was playing for Real Sociedad, and we were off for Christmas,
I could
drink all I wanted.
Good to see you looking after yourself.
I'll tell you what, you didn't let anyone down, John.
Thank you, Andy.
Cheers, pal.
He's off on one now, isn't he? Right, talking about kits we were before, very quickly. So Peter's sent us this in on the Twitter. He says, what do you think of this kit, Sharpie? NEC kit? I know you can't see it at home. Would you describe this? What year was this one?
That was about... I must be about
88. 88? One of your favourites or not?
No.
Okay, he didn't like it. He seems to like that one. No. Quite a few people have responded to the tweet earlier today talking about...
Everton one, off the cuff.
The Cox Sportif one with the inset. That white inset.
Yeah, I don't know, yeah.
Mm, very retro. A lot of people talking about the storage tweet that we put out earlier in terms of, are you happy to see him play on at Liverpool, etc.? the majority of these are basically saying perhaps it's time to move on. All become too much of a soap opera, says Alex. Gav says, is this a serious question? D says, had enough of the injuries. Too much wages to pay for someone who's not working. Think he struggles to get game time. Not good enough, get rid. That goes on for pages and pages. Mm. There's a lot of feeling about the Sturridge situation. Will he play again next season? Will he be here next season?
I don't think so. I don't think so, the way it's gone. Very frustrated, the manager. And I think it's just Liverpool. You might have to move on for a change. You know, where Liverpool going to get good money from him? From him, West Ham, Palace, China. I don't know, but you can't keep on going on the way it's been going, unfortunately, for Daniel. I don't think, personally, and it might be, I don't think, you know, the odds are he probably won't be here next season.
Maybe he needs a fresh start in his own head.
Perhaps so, yeah, the way he's been, yeah. He's not really the top striker of Liverpool, even when he's fit, is he now at the moment?
No, the bench was awful the other day.
Options we've got, Steve. Very little options now.
I say awful in the wrong. It was just young players, wasn't it? Yeah. They're not awful players. Yeah, they're not ready for it, are they? Quick thought from the two of you. Newcastle, the highs and lows in the North East. Newcastle promotion?
Yep.
Well, yeah, I think they had to, didn't they? You know, brought in a big manager, you know. Yeah, and great to see them back because it's a great atmosphere up there. It's a good team to have. How they'll fare, I don't know. But, no, Benitez... wasn't easy for him. Not easy getting out of the Championship, but they're there now, and I think we should welcome them.
Mali Benitez, to be fair.
And Moisey and Sunderland down.
I think they were down at Christmas, weren't they, to be fair.
The impossible job. Chaps, thank you very much indeed. That was Radio City Legends. I'm back tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. on Radio City Talk with the kickoff.
The Legends with 888 Sport. Whatever your sport, take them on. Bet now. Gamble responsibly.